So we reflect back on the previous months. We have August was month 8th. That's number of new beginnings. Ninth month, September, month of examination. Now we had a 10th month, October, the month of order. So I guess God is saying, let's get ourselves in order as we get into the new year. Let's get our houses, our homes in order as we get into the new year. Let's get our marriages in order. Let's get our singleness in order. Amen. Yes. God is speaking order in the 10th month. If you would turn to 1 Corinthians as we prepare for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we think about what Christ did for us so that we could be free, died on the cross to set us free, shed his blood. Families, three things that God did so that he would leave his handprint. At least three things he did and to leave his handprint so we would never forget. In the Old Testament, in the Jewish culture, the men had to be circumcised. And all the men say amen that we're in the New Testament, amen. And he told them in Deuteronomy 6 that when they would ask you, why do we teach about God? Why do we do these things? That they would be able to tell their children because of what God did for them. Circumcision, never forget it. Then when they instituted the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, said keep the Sabbath because it's holy. Take one day off to rest. If you go to Jerusalem and other parts of the country where there's a Jewish population, they still have the Sabbath day, 5:30 Friday to 5:30 Saturday. They still keep it to this day. I believe the Jewish calendar is in year 5,774. So for 5,774 years, they've kept the Sabbath. Why? Because God told them to. Then Christ tells us, do this in remembrance of me, which is communion. 2014 years we've been doing it. Regardless of what people want to say or what they want to hide behind, they can't deny that God has left his handprint on this earth. So we don't just take communion because it's something to do. We take communion because God told us to take communion. We take communion so we won't forget what God has done for us, the price he had to pay. And you take communion that you can be assured that God is alive and well. We will be without excuse when we stand before God. If God doesn't exist, then we're just doing a ritual that was made up by man. But we know better than that. We know that Christ split time in half. That's why we're in year 2014 and getting closer to 2015. Think about this. This is something I read. I just want to share it with you as we reflect on communion. It says in 1963, Addie Mae Collins, she was unfortunately one of the four girls that was killed in a church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. For years, the family returned to the gravesite to pray and leave flowers. However, in 1998, the family decided they wanted to dig up the body and move it to another gravesite. When the workers dug up the grave, they had a shocking discovery that the grave was empty. The immediate thoughts were the tombstone had been put at the wrong place. It was poor record keeping. They just couldn't figure it out. But nobody suggested that she had been resurrected and walking the earth. Because dead people don't do that. Big difference. But with Christ. But with Christ, it's been recorded. The two events, documented events, the crucifixion, and then before we go to Corinthians 11, turn with me to Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 15. Then we'll come back to 11. 1 Corinthians 15. starting at verse 1. You there? Say amen. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand. We stand in the good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Family, that's what we should be standing on. Also, verse 2, by which you are saved, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is what saves us. If you keep in memory what I've preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. This is Paul speaking, verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse 6 is the kicker. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present day, but some are falling asleep. So when Paul was preaching, he's saying Jesus resurrected after he was crucified. And if you don't believe it, he was seen by 500 people at once, and some of them are still alive. You can go ask them yourself. I told you about Chuck Colson, who was with the Richard Nixon administration. And when the Watergate came and the scandal came, they all got in the room and said, we're not going to tell anybody. This is the story we're sticking to. We're not telling anybody. Chuck Colson said that lasted for 2 weeks, and then everybody was turning state evidence on everybody else. 2 weeks, the lie only lasted. It was a blessing for Chuck Colson. He went to prison, started prison fellowship, which is still going strong to this day. And Chuck passed away a few years ago, but prison fellowship is still going strong. Prison fellowship is what allowed me to spend over 2 decades going in and out of prison, bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. They can only keep the lie for 2 weeks. Here we are 2014 years later. Family, remember, America's only been here for 238 years. You be careful who you listen to. 238 to 200 in 2014 is no comparison. Be careful who you listen to. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Brother Clarence, you can pass out the sacraments. He said, do this in remembrance of me. In other words, Christ is saying, keep your life in perspective. Yes, there's bills to pay. Yes, there's family issues. There's marriage issues. There's singleness issues. There's ups and downs. There's pink slips and blue slips and green slips and orange slips. There's eviction notices and foreclosures. But Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't you ever lose perspective that I'm coming back for you. And that is more to this life than what the world is trying to paint. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He said, as often as you think about it. So you don't have to just take communion here at church. You can take it in your house every day if you wanted to. There's no limit to how often we can take communion. God left his handprint. Remember, Christ said the night when he was betrayed, he was able to give thanks. Can you give thanks because you've been betrayed? He was on the cross. He said 7 things. The first thing he said of the 7 was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you forgive them, those who have wronged you? So we take communion. And when you get your communion cup, just hold up the bread. We'll eat it together. Can you forgive those? As we're asking God to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, God tells us to examine our heart and our motives before we take communion. Ask God to forgive you as you forgive others. Let them go. It's only eating you alive. It's only holding you back. It's only tearing you apart. It's only messing with your mind. It's only messing with your health. Christ was innocent, crucified. We're not so innocent, and we act like we can't forgive someone else, but we want God to forgive us. I hope I'm not the only one who wouldn't want God to bring up my stuff. I can let him go. I have to let him go. We have to let him go. I sure wouldn't want God holding my stuff against me. Somebody say amen. I want God to cast my sins in the sea of forgetfulness, and where he says he remembers them no more. Amen. I want him to remove them as far as the east is from the west. So I'm not going to hold on to anybody. I'm going to let it go. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, remember, this is the night he was betrayed, the same night. Don't wait too long to forgive. The same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We recognize, Lord, that you had to pay a physical price for us to be free. This is not mythology. This is not a hoax or a joke. This is reality. Thank you for lifting the scales off of our eyes. Thank you for taking us out of darkness and bringing us into your marvelous light so that we can see the reality that we need a Savior. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We understand you have to pay a physical price. The least we can do is be a living sacrifice. Go ahead and eat that which represents his body. Verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had drank, saying, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Until he comes. That means he's coming back. We remember what he's done for us until he comes back. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a woman examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eat and drink it unworthily, eat it and drink it damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So he's saying, don't play games with the Lord. And we know they were coming and making fun of the people in the church. He's talking to Christians. They were coming and making fun of the poor and the elderly, and it was just a mess. He's not talking about the struggles we go through. He's talking about what they were doing. He's not saying if you're struggling through life, you're living for God and you're having issues. He's not talking about that. That's all of us. Nobody could take communion if that's the case. But we thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood for us, died on that cross so that we could be free. This is a New Testament. One sacrifice once and for all. We don't have to do the sin offering and the trespass offering and the peace offering. Christ was offered once and for all for us. Let us drink that which represents his blood in the New Testament. Pass your cups to the center aisle. And as you pass the cups down, just stay in a spirit of reverence just for a few minutes. Let us just pray as a family. Lord, we thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for shedding your blood for us. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you that we're justified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Justified meaning just as if I've never sinned. Thank you, Lord, that your blood has cleansed us and made us whiter than snow. our past sins, our present sins, our future sins are covered under the blood. What we could not do ourselves, we deserved hell. But your mercy and your grace, Lord, set us free. We couldn't earn it. We just have to receive the free gift. We could have never been good enough. You said our works are like filthy rags. Regardless of what we would have done, how good we would have lived, it wouldn't have been enough to forgive us of our sins. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray that we would live worthy what you've done for us. That we could at least be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And you tell us, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. God, you've told us, if any man, if any woman be in Christ, they are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I'm praying right now, Lord, that we won't let guilt or shame stop us from being all that we can be in Christ. The stuff that happened in the past that we had no control over, or maybe we did, that happened to us, that we did to others, God, we're not going to be guilty or ashamed of it. Lord, we've confessed it. We've taken it to the altar. God, it's yours. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for others to forgive us. So we're praying right now, Lord, that we can walk out of here free, knowing that God hasn't condemned us. God is not condemning us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. God, we are not condemned. You don't condemn. As a matter of fact, you said that you've come that we might have life and that more abundantly. You didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Christ might be saved. So we see you as the loving God that you are, the holy God that you are, the forgiving and loving God that you are. We want to line up with you, Lord. Thank you for this morning, and this moment of reflection. God, we see how much we need a Savior. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That's why we needed Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for giving us power through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the great commission to go and make disciples and teach and baptize and build your kingdom. Thank you for the power to live right, to think right, to act right, to do right. Thank you for this church family. Thank you for this church home. We can come and we can worship freely. We can lift up the name of Jesus. We can learn of you. We can be taught by your Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take 2 minutes. Let's greet each other. Then let's get back right back into the word. 2 minutes. Especially our guests, our three young men who are here, greet each other. Now you have a minute and 30 seconds. Let's go.